Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to episode 67 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Thank you for your patience as Darcy and Katie and I got ourselves together and found a time to record, and we are really, really excited about giving you a full-length episode this week. So what we are going to talk about this week, we have a lot on the table, literally, this week, and and this could be a longer one. I don't know if this will be a trend or not, but since it's been a while, we figured we would treat y'all to a good full-length, long episode. So we've got active WIPs, active works in progress, recent finished objects, casting on soon, acquisitions, and my birthday was this past week, it's been 2 weeks now, but I have a lot to talk about. In the kitchen, reading and watching, and for lack of a better term, life stuff. So, let's get started with works in progress. And Katie, do you want to start?
Sure. Hi, I'm Katie. You can find me on Ravelry as Katie B. That's K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E. Or on Instagram is Katie B with a K-T at the end. I post lots of pictures of my yarny stuff and my cats. So if you like cats and yarn, we're good to go. Let's see. What were we doing again? Sorry.
Works in progress.
Works in progress. Okay. I am still working on a test knit, which has actually been released, called the Delicata Mitts by Karen Troyer-Ladman, who's Special K Knits on Ravelry. These are fingerless mitts. I am knitting them on size 4 needles, using Plucky Knitter sweater, and I got one mitt done, and I'm on the second mitt. She already released the pattern. I feel bad as a tester because I didn't get it done before she released it.
I'm a terrible tester. I gave up on that.
Usually I'm okay, but these killed my hands. I was knitting them on Addies, and it just killed my... I was waking up claw hands every day.
It's a really small, tight gauge.
So. I think that's part of it. It's DK knit a little tight. So, she was okay. You know, there weren't any problems with the pattern. So, she went ahead and released those. So I need to finish up the second mitt. And I think I might use these to, read in bed, because sometimes my hands get cold when I'm reading in bed.
The color is gorgeous.
I'm in love with this navy blue. It's called Poppycock. So it's a kind of a blue with teal undertones.
Yeah, it's really pretty. It's really dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted something, it was, you know, basically something that was already wound up. That was the right weight.
So are you submitting that for Silly Frews?
I did. Ball? For the Knit Your Balls.
Knit Your Balls. Yeah.
For the blue, that was for January. Yeah. So that's the Delicata Mitts by Karen, Troyer-Ladman. I am working on the Zane Shawl by Amba O'Brien. It's a triangular shawl. With a slightly different construction. You knit it from the bottom up. And then, once you get to a certain point, you split and kind of knit the wings. So I finished the one wing last night and, just started the other wing today. It's like a big chevron in stripes.
Cool.
Doing that out of Plucky Knitter Traveler DK in a couple different colors. MC is a dark blue called Grumpy Old Sailor. It's kind of like what Poppycock is, just a little bit darker. Mars and Venus, which are blue and a teal, or a teal and a red. Green Goddess, which is kind of a dark acidy green, and then a gray. I forget what the gray color is. Galvanized, maybe? But it's swimming along because it's all garter stitch. Awesome. it's one of those that you just memorize a line or two and you're off you go. And that was the Zane Shawl by Amba O'Brien. And then, I don't have them here, I'm working on my Rose City Rollers, the second sock. I'm at the gusset. I'm doing the gusset decreases, I guess? Is that the part where you... Yeah. Decreases on the side. Doing that. I didn't write down who that was by, but that's in my project.
Mara Catherine Briner. Brenner.
Yeah. So I got big feet. I'm hoping I can get get two socks or most of two socks out of that one little ball I had. So those are the active whips. I'm also working on a groovy, but I haven't really touched that since Christmas. So that's all for me right now.
And for those of you who don't remember, because it's been a while, I'm Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. And I post lots of yarny stuff and a lot of food stuff, so, and cats, and alligators. But I haven't seen my alligators in a while. Actually, I'm going to go see my alligators tomorrow. So, works in progress. I thought I had a whole bunch that I had been working on, but I've finished some things, so that's moved out of that list. I'm working on the Leona Dare by Elizabeth Green Musselman, and who is Dark Matter Knits on Ravelry and Instagram. And I'm using Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Summer Skin and the Slate colorways. And this is a two-color shawl. Let me see if I can pull it out without making too much of a mess. It's one of these, you know, typical start out with a garter. I've got too much yarn. Oh, that's because I'm in the middle of a row. Maybe. I have no idea. I don't know if I'm in the middle of a row or not. It kind of looks like maybe I am. But it's a striped, it's not garter. It is stockinette for the top part. And it alternates between the two colors. And then at the bottom, there's a lace detail I think you do part of it in one of the colors and part of it in the other color. And the Summer Skin is a sky blue, kind of a turquoise, and then Slate Robin's Egg Blue.
So
yeah,
pretty.
It matches my bag, actually, and that was completely unintentional.
I approve of those colors.
And the Slate is gray, as it sounds.
It's kind of a purpley gray, though.
And it also, to me, if I look at it, with the blue, it kind of looks brownish.
Yeah.
I saw kind of purpley in there. It's gorgeous is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really
it's
gorgeous.
Interesting. But I had these two yarns set aside to use together. And then when Elizabeth published that pattern, I knew that that's what it needed to be. So I've been working on that one off and on since probably November. But I had put it aside and then I pick it back up every once in a while. It's not very exciting right now because it's just stockinette, and I'm probably about halfway through the stockinette portion and just kind of plugging along. I'm randomly picking a project to work on each week, and this was this one this week after finishing some stuff. I am also working on my Hitafude still, which is by Hiroko Fukatsu. I don't have that with me because I've been working on that one at work. But I'm using Miss Babs Katahdin in Ivies, which is a really pretty green with like flecks of almost brown. It's a dark green, but it's kind of got a brownish tinge to it. It is a really, really pretty green. I keep getting comments on it. My the Katahdin, when you get it, if you get it wound and wind it into one ball, is monstrous. It's almost, I would say, if you think about a vinyl record, is almost as big as that wound up, maybe not quite. And I'm down to what I would consider like a normal size cake just wound. So I am on that one. If you've done the Hitafude before, then you know that there's a little bit of origami. You do a big rectangle, and then you seam part of it together to form the sleeves, and then you continue on to form the body. And I am probably about 3 inches past the origami at this point and just plugging along. I am at the point where I can no longer do one full row during a break at work, so it has slowed down quite a lot. And I was hoping to have it finished maybe this spring to wear, and I probably won't be able to wear it outside this year, but work, you never know what you're going to get. So, but it is for such a complicated looking pattern, it is a really easy pattern. And if you have looked at it and you're afraid that you might not be able to do it, it's one that I would recommend giving a shot because it really is pretty easy. A really, really easy lace pattern throughout the whole thing. And then the other thing I am currently working on is just a pair of vanilla socks that I'm using, hand spun that my mom gave me in the Mallard colorway, and it was spun from BFL nylon from Greenwood Fiberworks. And it's funny because I ended up buying the exact same fiber at Stitches Texas and started spinning it, and she had just finished spinning hers, or maybe was still in the process of spinning hers at the time. So when she came to visit in November or October, she gave me the skein that she had done. And hers is, it's interesting because hers is a 3-ply, and then I ended up doing mine as a 2-ply. So the comparison between how they spun up was really interesting. But I have finished the first sock. I did sort of a modified Rose City roller on those. I used the OMG Heel by Megan Williams instead of the Flap and Gusset. But other than that, I did the rolled cuff on one of them. Oh, well, I'll do it on both of them. I will do it on both of them. I do, however, I may go in and rip the bind off out of the first one because it's a little tight, and I may redo it. It depends. I think I'll do the second one and see how it fits.
Did you want to toe up?
And then, yeah, I did toe up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, that's another difference between that and the Rose City Rollers. The first two rollers are cuffed down. But, yeah, so this is probably more of sport than fingering. Mm-hmm. And I'm using, I don't know what size. I think I'm using size, I think there's size 1s or size 0s. On this, and they generally live in the car, and I'll do them. My husband did a star party at his high school last night, and I sat up next to the building where the light was on and worked on them because it was easy. And I brought, that's what I have out here, so I can work on it while we podcast. But there's a plane flying over, if you can hear that. Sorry for the ambient noise.
It's really nice today, so we have the windows open, and we're in my dining room, so you might hear the random airplane or car drive by, but it should be otherwise pretty quiet.
And I don't have it here. I have one other work in progress going. I can't talk about it too much because it is for the 2 knit lit chick swap that I'm doing. And I don't think the person that I'm spoiling listens to the podcast, but just in case, I'm not going to talk about it. But it's I am doing a shawl. I'm doing it out of purple yarn and, wait, is that right? No, I'm doing it out of blue yarn. And it's actually a really cool pattern. I can't wait to talk about it when it's done and after the swap. But that's not until April, so you'll have to wait for that. And then I'm throwing in my spinning with my works in progress and finished objects because of the three of us, I'm the only one who spins, so I don't want to do a separate spinning segment. So currently I'm working on a merino gradient set that I picked up when I went to the Quilt Festival in October. And it's from WC Mercantile. It's not, I don't know if they do their own fiber or what, but it's not, like, it's not branded other than WC Mercantile. And WC Mercantile is a yarn and fiber store that is in Navasota, Texas, which is about an hour from here. And it is, this actually is a 10-ounce set. Each bump is an ounce. And it is purples, so Darcy will love it when it is done. it starts out with it started out with a really pale, very pale lilac, and goes up through dark purple, or maybe it started with the dark, and I'm working to the light end. And it ends with actually this funky kind of taupe, maybe with a little bit of purple tinge to it. So I may add that in and then decide I don't like it and just leave that one out. But I am probably about 2/3 of the way done with that. It's a long spin since it's 10 ounces. It's the most I've ever done of one project. And I am doing that. I'm spinning it as singles just because I don't know how to chain ply. And with merino, my experience when I've tried to chain ply is I end up breaking it, and I wanted this to be nice. So I'm doing this all as singles, and I'll have a nice long yardage, and I'm going to make a really pretty shawl with it. And those are all my works in progress. So, Darcy.
Okay. I'm Darcy. You can find me on Ravelry as Slightly Foxed, S-L-I-G-H-T-L-Y-F-O-X-E-D. And I'm on Instagram as slightly_foxed. Let's see, we're talking about finished objects.
No, works in progress.
Okay. Right now, knowing that this podcast was coming on, I was cleaning stuff up and I had like a million things, but I'm going to concentrate on just a few things that have been absorbing my energy right now. I'm working on a Cirque Chalette. The design is by Christina Mershon. And I'm doing it out of a mini mochi, and the colorway is 112. I've had this in my stash forever, and I've tried to make this yarn into like a million different things, and every time it's like, nope, 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 nope. So finally I found, the gradient is really gorgeous because it's mostly like reds and pinks and oranges, and then it gets a shot of, really bright turquoise, like a peacock blue. That's very pretty.
It is really, really pretty.
It's really, right now, it's a crochet, shawl, and it's mostly like half crochets for the body of it. And then it has like these little circle dingly bobs that on the bottom, for lack of a better term. And it's really, right now it's just really good for listening to webinars, or it's a good non-thinking right now. The other thing that I'm working on heavily is the plushy Minecraft Creeper by Katie Bobbitt. I make toys a lot, and my daughter is super into Minecraft. In fact, we are so Minecraft in our house. I'm looking at the cake of handspun that Summer is working on, and I'm like, oh, it's a Minecraft block because it's brown at the bottom and green at the top.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But, this I'm doing it. The design by Katie Bobbitt is really cool because if you know Minecraft, everything is in pixels and squares. And so a lot of the Minecraft toys they're easy, but a lot of them having you do 6 squares and then seam for the rest of your life. And that's so not fun. But her designs are really cool because the squares that you make are actually 2 pieces. You do hinges on them, and then at the end you just single crochet it, so it's like one long seam. So it's really interesting construction. Hmm. The only thing, these things are, this pattern is huge. This thing is going to end up being like 3 feet tall.
A lot of crocheting.
It is a lot of crocheting, and it's a lot of crocheting of just like back and forth, single crochet, but, Until I got to the color work on the face, which was a little bit of a challenge. All I have is the feet left. And the other thing is the yarn that I'm using is another yarn that's been sitting around in my stash. It's a green ray. And I think the dyer has gone out of business because I have not been able to, I'm to the point where I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough yarn.
Oh.
I've already deconstructed 2 hats that we no longer wear so that I can use it. But the thing is, it's set for this particular toy. It's so cool because, it's a pink and purple. And yes, I know that traditionally Minecraft creepers are green, but there's a mod that my daughter loves that has pink creepers. And so she's been asking me for a pink creeper for a long time. So the way the pinks and the purples work, it looks really pixelated on top of it. So it's really cool and it's really pretty and it's really kind of both. It's very girly gamer. So I'm having a lot of fun, but I've got the feet left to go on it, and I'm holding out. I've got a backup plan if I run out of the green ray, but it'll mostly look really cool. I'm really excited about it.
Very cool. I can't wait to see that actually. Okay. So. Recent finished objects. So it's our faux show.
I have mine here because, well, yeah. I live here. So.
And I brought mine because I did.
Well, it is kind of fun. I mean, yeah, like other than what we see each other working on at work, you may not have seen this or
and
whatnot.
I have explanations. So
that's okay. So the first one I have is the So Fly hat by Justina Lorkowska, or Leet.
And I love that hat. I saw that on Facebook and Instagram, and I love it.
I'm going to have to add that. It's really, the construction's really interesting.
Wait till she posts a coupon or something. Well. I mean, it's only $5 or whatever, but hey, you can get one on sale. But, and I made her sandbank too, and it's, I don't do charts, so I appreciate when a designer writes things out, and her patterns are lovely, and it was a pretty quick knit. I didn't really like this
little twisted, kind of like almost like a little cable.
Twisted. I don't like the way that lays, and that may just be the way.
I think it's really interesting because it almost looks braided.
I don't remember what the technique was for this. Part of it just may have been my technique, and it's been a while, so I don't even remember what this was, but, I love the big cables. It could seem to be blocked a little bit to even it out, but.
Did you say what you used for that? Interrupted you.
This is, Plucky Knitter, Bellow Worsted, and Salvage. So it's a really pretty, like, dark, cornflower blue. This is one of my favorite colors. I love her blue. Really, she does really wonderful blues. Colors.
It's almost like a slate blue, a little.
But I love this color. I have yarn to make a sweater in the fingering weight of this. But yeah, I have this in a whole bunch of different ways. But so that
it looks
was,
good on you too. So
this was So Fly by Justina Lorkowska. My other one was a cowl called the Sea Cliff Loop.
Ooh.
By Ian, C-I-E-N, and then S-I-E is the last name. It's super simple. It's just two fingering yarns held together. Increase on one side, decrease on the other. So it's knit on the bias. I was a big girl and did the Kitchener at the end. It's not so bad when it's a handful of stitches. And then again,
that's
this,
really
yeah, and it's really pretty. It could probably be blocked or whatever a little bit just to even it out. It's two fingering weights held together. Again, it's Plucky Knitter, and I used Vintage Icebox, which is kind of a medium light teal blue. That's this color. Mm-hmm. Two Drifters, which is like my most favorite color. I'd marry that color if I could.
It's actually really similar again to the mitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in the same
hat.
Family. Yeah. They're really close. Two Drifters, which is a darker teal blue, darker blue, and then Bastille, I think it's Bastille, which is, a darker blue with green undertones. And so it's a, you marl them together or knit them together and I did kind of a gradient thing, so it's really pretty. I like it. I don't wear it, so. I make things and then wad them up in the closet. And then my other finished object, finished this probably back in January after it was in timeout for a little bit, because I can't count, is my Bradway shawl.
That is
pretty. Oh, that's pretty.
By Shannon Cook. This knit so fast. It's really easy, too. We used Plucky Knitter Scholar 1.0 in, Blue Sky, which is a blue, dark navy blue, Wintry Mix, which on Scholar 1.0 is kind of a whitey gray. And then, Green is Herb, which is a nice dark Kelly green.
It's really pretty.
But it's, I'm afraid to soak it because I'm afraid the blue and the green are going to run, so I may have to, like, spray it, pin it out and spray it.
Do you have leftovers?
Yeah, I have
so
a little.
Test maybe, it and
yeah.
See.
Because I'm afraid the blue is going to, and the green are going to run. Yeah.
The textures are so interesting.
Yeah. And it really knit up really fast for a worsted weight shawl, so I'm waiting on some more yarn because I want to do a purple one.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Purple and pink or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that would be really pretty. That's a really pretty shawl. Yeah, it looks so cozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it needs to be blocked because it's a little stiff. Yeah. But that was the Bradway shawl by Shannon Cook. And I have, I'm pretty good about pictures and updating my project pages, so you're welcome to poke around in there. I like tags and stuff like that, so all that stuff should be on there and up to date. That's all mine. All
right, so Let's start with the cutest. And this is really, really cute.
It is so, cute.
I made the Nursery Cat by Sarah Elizabeth Kellner, and that's the same designer who did the Bluebird of Happiness that so many people have done. Not me, but other people. And what I really, really like about this pattern, and I've looked at so many of hers, they're very detailed, but they're much more realistic. Like the shaping, instead of just being a blob that you call a cat, this looks like a kitten. It's just adorable. So I used some of my earlier hand spun, and it was by Fat Cat Knits in the Corriedale Cross combed top, and the color was Sweet Torty. So from the very beginning, I knew that this probably was going to be a stuffy, and it was going to be a cat, or at least something cat themed. And I didn't have enough to really do anything bigger with it anyway, and being early hand spun, it really wasn't fit to be much of anything other than a stuffy. But it turned out really cute. I'm really glad that I used it for this. But it's got the cat is, it's like, you know, sitting like a normal sitting cat pose, not laying down, but like sitting up with its feet in front of it, and with a little tail. And I embroidered the eyes and nose and whiskers.
And the embroidery is really well done. You did a great job on that.
I appreciate it because the nose is kind of funky, but that's okay.
It's hard to.
I'm not very good at embroidery.
You did a good job there.
Thank you very much. The one thing I do wish is that I had used a different color for the whiskers and the mouth, because on the dark yarn, you really can't see them very well. So I could always cut that out and do it in another color if I care enough, but I probably don't care enough. So that's one thing. And then I have the Flotsam, which is actually another hand-spun project. My goal right now, everybody says, especially for new spinners, to knit your early hand-spun, because the better you get, the more you're going to not like the early stuff, because you're going to get better. And I definitely see that's true. I've actually got this hat, which was probably maybe my third or fourth finished braid off my wheel. And then I've got my most recent that I'll talk about in a minute. And the difference between these two is just, you know, it's a huge difference. But so the Flotsam is a pattern by Allie Coffey, who is Crafty Allie on Ravelry and on Instagram, and her shop is Needs More Purple Designs, I believe.
I approve.
Darcy, by the way, I don't know that we have mentioned, has purple hair. So
if you look on my Instagram, you'll see, and I'll show you. For some reason, people are surprised that I use repurple as a verb, because it is a perfect verb.
So that was the pattern, and the hand spun is Merino Tussa Silk and Stellina from Kitty Minecrafts. I always have to think about that because I have the one that was Fat Cat Knits, and then I immediately, probably one of the next things I spun was Kitty Minecrafts, which I don't know if I just said that backwards, but the colorway was King Tut, and I had actually gotten this gotten a sample of this from a Fat Fiber box. I think it was November of 2014. And I fell in love with it using it on my spindle. It was just such a pretty color. It's gold and this.
It's like, is there a sparkle in there?
There is a sparkle. So you've got the gold Stellina and gold fiber / yarn, and then this gradient blue, and it's just gorgeous. And the Flotsam is a really simple pattern. It has a garter brim and then some yarn overs along the top and then the decrease, and it worked really well with the hand spun. The pattern calls for DK, and this, working with it, is probably more of a worsted. So I just decreased the number of stitches I cast on, and it worked great. So I'm really, really happy with this. I've worn it once. I don't know how warm it'll be. Just something with the hand spun doesn't feel super warm because it's not very lofty, but it's pretty, and that's what matters. And then I finished my Never Shall Meet, which is a pattern by Clothesline Designs. And on her pattern, she doesn't list her name, but I know that this is Quilter Caroline on Ravelry. And she gifted me this pattern a while back, and I cast it on several months ago. I cast it on September over Labor Day weekend because the yarn I used is the End of the Wool colorway from Fibro Fibers and her Nightfall. And this is an exclusive colorway from the Into the Wool 2014 retreat. And so I cast it on the weekend of the 2015 retreat since I wasn't able to actually go. So I know actually when I was cast on. And it is a shawl pattern, but it is very, very long. So it's really more scarf-like than shawl. And it has four different sections with different textured stitches that you repeat a couple of times. And there's a couple places where you bind off a few stitches, so you end up with these kind of little points. And I blocked it really good, and it's super, super long, and it would make a nice scarf. Not so much,
It's a scarf.
It is a scarf.
Yeah, it's not.
I will admit, I submitted it as a shawl on a couple of knit-alongs, only because it said shawl in the pattern, but... Y'all know who you are that I submitted it for, and you can always disqualify me if you think it doesn't count. But the yarn itself it is a gradient, and it starts out with kind of a sky blue with flecks of green and brown to represent that, like, the sky with leaves, and then it goes into a very dark brown with still those flecks of blue and green in there occasionally. It's really pretty.
It's really pretty.
Yeah. And it's a really light fingering, so this is it's a really light scarf. Very pretty. And then the last thing I'm calling finished, but I haven't blocked it yet. This is the Clue Shawl by Very Busy Monkey. And if you've listened for a while, you know that I really love the Very Busy Monkey patterns. So I have a quest to actually have one of her patterns on the needles at all times. I'm lacking at the moment because I just cast this off. But I use Madeline Tosh sock in Tarte, which is a gorgeous red, very dark, kind of like blood red. And it is a really cool pattern. It's got just a textured shawl with some garter sections and some cables and then some seed stitch or moss stitch, I'm not sure which one, and some stockinette repeated over and over. And it's gorgeous. It's actually very, very pretty. I'm showing it to y'all so as if you can see it.
It would be pretty when it's
blocked. Yeah, I just didn't. I finished this either Wednesday or Thursday, and I just haven't had time to block.
A bleeder, though.
It is going to be a bleeder. Madeline Tosh tends to bleed anyway.
Oh, the textures are so pretty.
Yeah, so this will definitely never go into a wash with anything besides itself. But those are all of my finished objects. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. I do have my hand spin that I wanted to talk about. And this is Three Waters Farm Falkland. It's a 2-ply, and it's in the maple leaf rag. I do the Three Waters Farm Top of the Month Club. I started doing that back in maybe October or November, and this is the first that I've actually spun. And it's so soft and squishy. And it's it's autumn colors. You've got reds to kind of golds and a little bit of, it's kind of like, I guess, a taupe.
Orange.
In there, an orange. It's really pretty.
It's really soft.
Super squishy.
Yeah, it's really soft.
Super squishy. And I don't know what this will be. I didn't write down how many yards I got, but it's, I would guess in the 250 plus yardage, so probably a hat or a cowl. And then it would make a really nice cowl, I think. But now I'm done with my finished objects. And on to Darcy.
Okay, so as I said, I can explain. I've had lots of little things, but my two big finished objects, one is the Darcy Shawlette by Carrie Steinmetz. And I was telling Summer, I think it would be really cool. I think everybody should knit a pattern that has your name in it somewhere.
Yeah, so there's maybe a cowl coming with that. We haven't talked about details yet, but sounds like an awesome knit-along.
I think that would be just an interesting challenge for, I knitted up, the reason why it's not here is that it's blocking on my kitchen table because I want to wear it tomorrow. It is in Colinette Jitterbug with the Venezia colorway. It's kind of a kind of a black base, but lots of pinks and purples and periwinkles and shots of red, little bits of turquoise. And I didn't, as I was knitting it up, I didn't notice any noticeable or predictable pooling. So it's just, to me, it's a real interesting way. And it's a basic shawl where it's mostly, stockinette at the top and then lace detail at the bottom. But, and the other thing that I did was I did a crocodile. Deb Ritchie is the designer.
That is so cute.
This particular one is from the One Skein Crochet book, but she's one of those designers that I will follow to the end of the earth because, her toys, they aren't hard. She will, if you follow her directions, she will show you what to do, but it's not just like the tail on this crocodile is not just okay, let's do a cone that'll turn into a cylinder. She does stuff so that the tail curves, so that there's life in her toys. So they're always to me really interesting to do, and they're always really good patterns of like place this stuff here, place the safety eyes here. And so
I really appreciate that in a toy pattern.
And so I always say if you're looking for a good toy pattern where you're going to learn a technique, go to Deb Ritchie's stuff and she also has kind of a twisted edge to her too, which I kind of like. That there are other toys that I have on my list to do. The crocodile, I had in my stash, and I don't even know where the label went. It's one of those like cheap holiday acrylic, like bright Kelly green acrylic that had some metallic silver in it. It was murder on my hands. It really hurt, but it made up the crocodile so cute. But here's the thing. I've got a crazy white German Shepherd mix dog named Luna, and this dog has a tendency to, when she runs off with toys, she does not tear off the toy. She tears out the eyes, which is super creepy. So I found the crocodile the other day, eyeless. So, right now, the crocodile, what I did to fix it is I found some black puff paint and I painted on the eyes because that's as good as it's got. It's like I could sew in buttons or figure that out. And it's like, you know what? This is what it's going to be because I kind of like a flat eye on this particular toy. That, my life is magical. And that's what I've got going on right now.
What are we planning to cast on soon?
My favorite month is coming up. Malabrigo March.
Oh, right.
Malabrigo March is like Christmas to me.
I remembered that I actually have a skein of Malabrigo worsted that I bought last year when I was at Yarntopia with Jeanette, Bookish Stitcher, over Thanksgiving, that I'd forgotten about. So,
well, and I can always hook you up too.
So. Yeah. Katie could be someone's Malabrigo dealer if you need.
She's just here. Yeah. Try a little Malabrigo. It's just a little.
It's my first love. They had on the board submit knit along and crochet along suggestions. So those are now closed, and now voting is open. So go vote.
Yeah, okay, I need to remember to do that.
I submitted two things, but I don't think one will get picked. The second one might. So I suggested Woolly Wormhead Skelter, which was her latest mystery hat.
And she's also doing a 12 hats in 12 months or something on her group too. I don't know if she started it or if someone else started it on her group, but that would probably count for both.
I've actually never knit one of her patterns, but the hat looks really cute. I've got plenty of Malabrigo, so I figured I could learn how to, cable without a cable needle.
Yeah.
That scares me.
I think it's just a couple of stitches at a time. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, it's not so bad if it's just a couple.
I'm doing four or five stitches.
I've done up to four, well, I guess an 8-stitch cable, so four, slipping four at a time. I don't think I've done more than that. I'm not sure I would be able to do more than that.
So I'm hoping to finish my whips and then in time for Malabrigo merch. Definitely want to do the Skelter. My other knit-along suggestion, which may get picked, I don't know, is the Ballysmon Mitts by Irish Girly Knits. They're fingerless mitts that have cable panel on the front.
Ooh.
And they're like worsted weight or something like that. I'm all about anything that's worsted weight.
Yeah. It's fast.
And I'm, mitts and stuff are, they're easy to pick up and put down and, you know, although they don't use a lot of yardage, but, so I'm just thinking ahead to Malabrigo merch.
Yeah.
I have yarn pulled out for a Buccaneer, another Justina Lorkowska pattern, but I would really kind of like to do, a citric acid soak or something on some of the colors, because, my MC is a dark gray brown, and there's a couple reds in there, and a green that supposedly bleeds. And it's fingering weight, so I kind of want to, I was kind of doing a lot of stuff with Plucky, and while I love Plucky and I have a lot of Plucky, I'm kind of going back to love some of my other yarns as well, so picking out some of my Three Irish Girls or some Malabrigo. I haven't used Mad Tosh in a while either, so need to use some of my other stash.
Yeah. Yeah, Katie's got a lot of stuff.
She does.
To love. So, I don't have, I only have a couple of really firm plans. I was looking, I've talked before how I tend to be regimented when it comes to knitting. And so I have these kind of plans. So like I said, I like to have a very busy monkey shawl. Or pattern on, because I just, her patterns are just genius. So actually, so one of the things that I want, since I just finished the Clue shawl, I plan to cast on the Moab shawl by Very Busy Monkey. And I can't cast it on yet because I'm planning to use the yarn or the fiber that I'm spinning right now. So as soon as that's done and I full it, I will cast that on. And I have no idea how much yardage I'll get, but with 10 ounces, I'm certainly, if anything, I might have too much.
Yeah.
But this particular pattern was written for hand spun, so it's adjustable. So it may end up a very big shawl. And then I also kind of want to just always have a hat on hand, or on the needles, because they're quick and easy, and it's a, kind of instant, not instant gratification, but almost instant gratification project. So I was looking through before I came over to Katie's today to see what I had queued and what yarn I had that I wanted to use. I got a lot for my birthday and some that I've picked up over the past year or so, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But so I just chose the first of my more recent, and by more recent, I think it was my birthday last year, but some Mad Tosh DK. That I want to use. I think it is in the, it's one of the splatter colors. What do you call those? Not splatter.
Speckle.
Speckle, that's the word. That a lot of people have used. New Fair Isle, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
And so I was looking to see something that would work with that. And I think I'm going to do the Slipped Ridge hat by Woolly Wormhead, which is just a textured pattern. It looks like it, well, it's Slipped Ridge, so it looks like it is maybe mostly knits and purls, but then with the slip stitches to give it a nice texture. So I think it will work well with that yarn. And then I also like to have, because I really want to knit with my hand spun as I'm doing it, or from older to newer. So the next thing I'm going to cast on is the Clown College from Twist Fiber Studio, which is a rainbow that I did as a single. And I don't remember how many yards I have, but around, maybe around 300, close to 300 yards. And I think I might do a honey cowl with that. I don't have enough to do. I've attempted a honey cowl before and I ended up ripping it out. So I'm not 100% sure, but I think it would look good with it. It is monotonous. So, but I want something, I think it would show off the rainbow really well. So that is a potential. other than that, I don't have any plans. Although I did wind that. I wound that fiber or that yarn up this morning and it's calling my name. So I'll probably cast that on actually today.
Need to find projects for the handspun you gave me.
Yeah, you gave me a handspun for my birthday, and that's it's like a clapotee inspired cowl.
Oh, yeah, I think
so. I want to do that. I also need to. I have so many things in hibernation. Like I've got this really cute fox bag that by Hello Happy, that it's done for the most part. I just have to, you know, put all the parts together and just. Get it done. And I also bought some square shaped buttons because I saw a pattern for a Minecraft snow golem, which is basically like a snowman. It's a snowman with a pumpkin head. And the pattern itself they're so super cute. And again, it's for my daughter. And it's one of those patterns where all the squares are done in three parts, top and bottom, and the perimeter around with hinges. So but it had you crocheting all the thing has like 6 or 10 square buttons up the front, and they had you crocheting that. And I said, no, Etsy can provide me with that. So I specifically have bought buttons for that. So I might as well just follow through on it.
Yeah, there's some things. It's like, I think it's Jasmine from Knit More Girls often says, you know, not everything needs to be knit. Some things are better to be sewn. Not everything needs to be, why crochet when you can buy a perfectly serviceable item? We have plenty of other things to work to crochet and knit. Yeah.
Because that face is, I'm looking at the embroidery for the face, and it's going to take me some concentration to get it right. So I'd rather put my energy toward that than making a million little buttons and then throwing it against the wall in anger.
Yeah. So that leads us into acquisitions. So Darcy bought buttons.
I bought buttons, although I've been really good. It's yet another year of me doing hashtag crash the stash. And I actually went through my stash and I reduced it a bin of stuff that people have just said, here, I'm not using this, and I didn't know how to say no. And so I'm just kind of moving it along. You know, I held it and said, thank you for being a part of my life, and then let it go.
Yeah. So de-acquisitions.
Yeah, I haven't faced my sock yarn yet.
And I'm going to let Katie talk because I've got a lot to talk about.
depends if you're interested or not. We have a nice little yarn store here in Katy that's down the road called Yarntopia.
We're going after this recording, right?
If you guys want, yeah. She's open to 4, so we got 2 hours. Yeah.
We won't keep you that long, guys. No.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw this on the internet, and I had to go get it.
It's cool. Sorry, I get squealy. Sorry.
I feel bad because I buy a lot of yarn online and stuff, and so I don't get down there very often. And I was off a couple weeks ago on a Tuesday, and so my husband and I went down, and we bought, I don't think it's down here on the table, some Arnie and Carlos of the sock yarn, the special sock yarn. I got 2 skeins of that. I got 2 skeins for summer. Because, you know, we enable each other. Dave didn't have patience. I texted you that picture, and he's like, she better answer because I want to go. The wife's back was still there.
Yeah.
And then I was going through my Facebook feed last Friday night, and I saw that there was going to be a trunk show. And it was a dyer I'd never heard of called Panorama Fiber Arts. She's local out here in Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, Google, found her shop, saw the pretty purple yarn, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up so I can go down there and get some.
Oh, people, this yarn is like a pretty, pretty pony.
So it's in the vein of sock blanks that have been dyed up or blanks that have been dyed up as a gradient and then balled up and pretty. And so I got... these are called Socky Bombs. It's 75% superwash merino, 15% nylon, and 10% Tencel. And right, you can hold it.
No, I'm looking at the what it says on here. That's it's really cool because it has the yardage on it, and then like how much
what
like,
you can do
what
with
you
it.
Can do with it. Like yeah. This one is two little balls at 220 yards each, I guess.
Yeah.
And you can do an ESOC with them. And or the other one is 400, one ball of 440. This is Chalet, or two times 155 yards, which is mid cap. That is really cool.
Yes. So I got, what, three Saki balls? One is a dark purple to a hot fuchsia pink. I saw that in the internet, and I'm like, I'll get up and go down there and get that. I was afraid they were going to all be gone, and there wasn't anybody down there.
I am living for this yarn.
She will be at Houston Fiber Fest.
Okay.
And then I got a big cake of that, and then I got two baby cakes of that, because, you know, I someday may make socks. And then I got a gray gradient, so it goes from a medium gray to a kind of a creamy
really
white.
That's really pretty.
It'd be pretty to stripe those or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still haven't used my Vice. I got some Vice that's like that too.
It's still a pretty, pretty pony.
It's pretty. I'm suckered in. And then, I got her Aussie DK base, which is, 85% Polworth, 10% or 15% silk. It's about 285 yards. Oh, she's in Richmond.
Oh, okay.
Not Rosenberg. But they're kind of in the same area, right? And this is a pretty, the colorway is Red Hot Chili Pepper, but I would say this is almost like a pink.
It's very
salmon-y.
Yeah,
it's very salmon-y.
Dark salmon or whatever. It's pretty. And actually I've never knit with Polworth. When I did my drop spindle, I had Polworth.
I don't think I have either.
But you never, it's an odd base, so. That's pretty. And I wanted to support somebody local. And then I got a mandala sock, which is another base, which is an 80-10-10 for about 495 yards. And this is sandstone, which is kind of, I would say it's purple with like a light gray base.
Yeah.
So that's was nice. Pretty. And she had other colors of the gradient Saki bombs and... She had some lace weight, but I don't know lace weight, so. But she'll be at Houston Fiber Fest, so that was nice. And then, I get lots of yarn, but I'm not gonna talk about everything. Let me open this. People can't hear it. Plucky, expands her line bases every once in a while, and so this is, I don't think this is gonna be a permanent thing, but this is called Lodge Worsted. I bought this off of D-Stash, and I think it's actually cotton, not cashmere. So it's merino, cotton, silk, and linen. And this is in, if it's not Baroque, but I'm a sucker for tweedy stuff.
Yeah.
Looks tweedy.
Can I pet it?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's soft. I got two skeins of that off of D-Stash. It's a nice...
It's kind of rustic too.
Yeah.
Purpley color. I might, the key is finding the right project for the yardage. So it's 238 yards, so just under 500 yards. Thinking maybe I want to crochet something. I'm going to move to crochet, so find a crochet cowl or something like that.
Yeah, that's really pretty.
That's really, really pretty.
So other than my Arnie and Carlos, which I don't know if that's down here or not. It may be upstairs. That's all I got.
Well, like I said, my birthday happened. And I got pretty spoiled this year. It was really nice. And some of this is birthday stuff. And I have a couple of things that weren't birthday. And they're not all knitting related. But I just threw it all in here. Because why not? So some friends of mine got... we were visiting Austin... couple of days before my birthday, and they wanted to buy me something, so I sent them a link to my Etsy favorites, and so they bought a couple of things off that. So I got a cross stitch pattern that is Star Wars Owls,
and
I'll have to see afterwards. I'll see if I can pull it up.
Yeah,
but it's owls in like Star Wars attire. like, and it has, I think it just has the, a long time ago in the universe far, far away.
Galaxy
far, far away. I think that's what the text is. Sorry. I like Star Wars. I'm not the biggest Star Wars geek at the table.
I love you anyway.
but it was very, very, very cute. And, I have actually my supervisor, who I know does not listen to this podcast, she is a major Star Wars fan, and she likes owls. So I'm thinking maybe for next year's birthday, it's a small, like a little square project project. So I may do that for her birthday next year. And then the same friends gave me a pendant, which I'm not wearing today, but it is an image of Pluto. Like, where you can see the heart that showed up on Pluto with the images. It's just a little, just a little pendant with that on it. If you've seen Vintage Roses necklaces, or I'm sure thousands of others on Etsy with that, they have just the sticker or whatever image glued on the pendant with the globe, like little acrylic globe over it. I'm not describing it well, but it's just a pendant, and it's very pretty, and it's very nerdy, and I like it very much. And then I ended up with a couple of yarny things from my husband. Made the purchases, but they were from my daughter and from my son, and both of them bought me Madeline Tosh DK, and Laura got me Baroque Violet, which is a very pretty purple. And Eli got me Arctic, which is a very pretty blue, and they're actually very much in the same color family. It's kind of funny that they chose the same thing. But I had gone through, because he was asking me what I wanted. So I went through Eat Sleep Knit's website and made a wish list, and just added, not everything. Of course, I couldn't add everything that I wanted on Eat Sleep Knit, but I went through wanting to make more hats and these, so I need more DK and worsted. So I went through Mad Tosh's stuff and chose the colorways that I would like. And then some other things, but those were at the top of the list, and I'm not sure how far down the list they looked. It doesn't matter. But now I have them for my benefit, so I can just go in and look sometimes. So I got those two things. And then I got a few patterns. Darcy actually gifted me with two patterns. One was The Adorable Dragon by Melissa's Crochet Patterns. And like Darcy said, she makes toys, so getting a toy pattern was not a surprise from her.
It was too cute.
Getting a pattern was a nice surprise. That it was a toy pattern was not a surprise. It was very cute, and it was on my wish list. And then the other is Sugar is Sweet, which is a shawl by Rose Beck, also from Darcy. And then my mom gifted me Thursday Morning, which is a Erin Waite cowl, I think, by Alicia Plummer. And so those are the patterns that I got. And then Katie gave me a knitting gauge ruler by Ann Budd, one of the cool new little rulers, the clear acrylic ruler that you lay on top of your knitting, and it kind of, it kind of shows, you can line it up with your stitches and get an idea of your gauge. Very, very cool. And then the big gift that I got was a new camera lens from my husband.
Awesome. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It was only $5 too.
But
how cool.
Yeah. I've been wanting a telephoto lens for when we go out to Brazos Bend State Park, because I love my alligators, and they're often on the bank far away, and also birds. I love, there are lots of really pretty birds and a lot of shots that I haven't been able to get. So I got a telephoto lens for that, and I haven't even played with it yet. But when we're supposed to go out tomorrow, since the weather is going to be nice, and I'm going to take it with me and see if I can get some good shots. And then my mom sent me a copy of Fine Things for Plain Occasions, which is the new book by Hunter Hammerson. I should have brought it with me. But there have been, if you want a really good review, actually two really good reviews, video and audio, Knit Girls reviewed it a few weeks ago, and Knit More Girls reviewed it fairly recently too. And they can say, what they have to say about it is more than I could say for it. But they're based on etiquette, and they're just very time appropriate pieces, I guess. I don't know the right word. Like, I think Downton Abbey kind of, you know, went the height of etiquette. And they're just really pretty. And I really like Hunter Hammerson's books. I've got the Curls book and then two of her Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet books. I think I've only knit two things out of them, but, well, two things out of the Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet and two Curls. And those are, I just love, her patterns are, they're just pretty and they're intricate and there's something a little special about them. And then the final thing for birthday stuff, my dad had sent me money, so I saw on Facebook the other day that Eat Sleep Knit was having a Valentine's special, so if you bought anything from the time that they posted through about, I think it was 1 p.m. our time that day, and you entered, will you be my Valentine, and the notes field that you got entered in a drawing. So I had this money that was just burning a hole in my pocket, and I went and ended up buying a sweater's quantity of Blue Moon Fiber Arts Targi worsted in Hot Rod Red to make a sweater. And I think I'm either going to make lipstick, which I have in my library already. It's a Hohe Locatelli pattern, or I don't remember what the other pattern was, but it was a pullover that had a pocket, a short sleeve pullover with a pocket. And the yardage on and weight were very similar on both of those. So I haven't gotten that yet, but since it'll be probably a few weeks before we record, I thought I'd go ahead and talk about it. And I did go and look at reviews of the yarn on Ravelry before buying it since I wasn't familiar with it, and it's gotten fabulous reviews, so I'm really excited about that. And then non-birthday related, like Katie mentioned, she got me some Arnie and Carlos sock yarn that she picked up, which I still need to write you a check for. And I bought myself a Knitty Knotty. I had one that I'd made of PVC, and I noticed that it was starting to crack, and I wanted something that wasn't going to warp. So I was not, it wasn't one of these nice, finely turned wood ones. It was just very basic wood, but I needed it, so I bought it. And then the other thing is completely non-yarn related, but in the shower I decided I needed to talk about this. So for Christmas, my husband gave me one of the little gift sets from Lush Body Works or Lush Body, whatever it's called, that had a little sample, generously sample-sized bottle of shower gel and this stuff called Rose Argan Body Conditioner. And that stuff is amazing. It's like a lotion, but you use it in the shower when you're still wet and then just pat dry afterward, and you don't have to use moisturizer afterwards. And it smells wonderful. Both of them are the Rose Jam fragrance, so it's really rosy, and I don't usually do floral scents, but this is really nice, and the scent kind of stays with you all day, and it makes your skin so soft. And I had to buy myself, I went through the sample very quickly and spent money because Lush is not cheap, but I wanted it, so I bought myself a big tub of that, or as big as Lush tubs are, which is not very big. But I bought that. It does, you only use a little bit at a time, so it will, especially in Houston when it's mostly humid. Right now it's been pretty dry, and yeah, I use it a lot, but in the summer I probably won't even use this, so it should last me a while. But that's a huge endorsement for that product. If you can buy Lush online, it ships from Canada, so the shipping's not particularly cheap, and the stuff's not that cheap anyway. So it was definitely an indulgence, but it was worth mentioning. So that is all the knitting content. We are at 63 minutes.
Wow.
Do you want to talk about events?
Oh yeah, let's talk about events, and then we will talk about in the kitchen and the other stuff.
Okay.
So Katie and I are both going to Into the Wool, which is a fabulous fiber retreat held in Crossville, Tennessee. It's sponsored by Dana of Unwind, Dana of Unwind, who is the dyer behind Unwind Yarn Company, and Silly Fru, who is the host of the Sassy Pants Knitter podcast, and Ashley, who is Carolina Spinner and is the dyer behind Twist Fiber Studio. And they are all pitching in to put this on for the third year in a row. I went the first year and had a great time. And last year, the timing just didn't work out for me because we had just taken my daughter to college. This year, I decided that I didn't care even if I do make the trip to North Carolina in the middle of August, I'm still making this trip again because I really missed not going last year. So last I heard, I think there were still some spots open, there were some spots open, but that's been a while. I have not heard that it's closed. So if you're interested, you can check the Ravelry group for Into the Wool Fiber Retreat and see what the current status is. I highly recommend it. It's very affordable. It's rustic. If you are, as Silly Free says, if you're a pretty, pretty princess, this may not be the retreat for you. It's camping in cabins, air-conditioned cabins, but it's, you know, it's hilly. There's a lot of walking. It's not handicap accessible. The camp itself is not handicap accessible, so good to know. But I'm really looking forward to that. And we have friends from Texas also who are going. I know Heidi of Undead Yarn is going to be vending there. And I'm not going to say the other person because I don't think she said it on her podcast. So I don't want to speak for her. Yeah. And then yes, thank you. The Yellow Rose Fiber Fiesta, which is in Seguin, Texas, which is about 2/3 of the way between here and San Antonio, Houston. We're in Houston, Texas. Is the weekend of April 14th and 15th. And Katie and I are planning on making a day trip and going to that. And then Houston Fiber Fest is in June this year. Okay. In the Houston area. And I think all three of us are planning to go, whether or not we will be able to go at the same time because of work schedules is yet to be seen, but we definitely all three have plans to go to that. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and, like I said, we're going to do a long one this time and it won't always be this long. So, and also these are not nearly as long. So we've got In the Kitchen, and the main reason I want to keep this in is because Darcy and I desperately need to talk about Lemony Lemons.
Oh my gosh, Lemony Lemons.
We have a good friend who has a Meyer lemon tree and had, I think an overabundance is minimalizing how many lemons they had and how many they needed to get rid of. So Jennifer brought Darcy and I both two big bags of lemons one day. And
the trouble is, I know for mine, there was moisture that got in, so a lot of the lemons ended up molding quicker than I could get to them, but yet I still had so many.
Yeah, and same thing happened with me. They molded so quickly that I actually was only to make one thing with them. But that one thing that I made was one of my favorite things ever. And so, did I write down the rest? No. Oh, yes I did, because it's from a cookbook. I made the lemon bars from the Back in the Day Bakery Cookbook, and I think this was only the second thing that I've made out of that cookbook. And the first was, I think, blueberry muffins, and they were also really good. But these, I mean, I had never made lemon bars before, although they are one of my favorite desserts. And it's just a basic shortbread crust with a lemon filling on top, sprinkled with powdered sugar. And they were so incredibly good. It really made it too big of a batch, and we probably should have shared, but I didn't want to.
But why?
So we ate those, and let Darcy talk about what she ended up making.
I ended up making, we had an event at church, same day as my husband's birthday. So I ended up making, we juiced a whole bunch simply because
that's what we should have done too.
In the middle of winter, nobody wants lemonade, but we're going to want it in the summer. So we'll just pull it out of the freezer. Yeah. And then my husband preserved a bunch of the lemons. I can't remember which technique but it's a very traditional technique. And then, I pulled out my good old Better Homes and Gardens cookbook because I figured let's just go basic. And I made the lemon poppy pound cake. Which the it made up really nice and thick, but the texture was really good and it was very sweet. And of the two cakes that I made, I liked that one. And then I also made a lemon sponge cake, same source. And that one was a challenge for me because it kind of required, you had to separate the yolks from the whites and make kind of a meringue. And the last time I had attempted to make a meringue, I did it as a teenager and by hand. So, which is, I know that's just
and
disaster
in
the
making.
And
meringues in Houston too can be very tricky because it's
so
humid.
Yeah. But this one, it meringued up like a dream in my, in my KitchenAid. And it made up, and of the two, my husband liked that one. It ended up being, some of the lemon peel that got in there made it a little bitter, but he tends to like bitter things anyway, which is why he married me. No, just kidding. But it was very light, the texture was light and fluffy. Somebody at church asked me if it was like an angel cake, angel food cake. It had kind of that texture to it. And then, I'm hoping later on this weekend I have a limoncello that's in process. I have lemon peels soaking in the Everclear. We had to do, my husband helped me with some kitchen math because we looked at the proof and it was a little high for what we wanted to do, so we had to dilute.
Everclear is evil.
Yeah, we diluted it a bit. And then the lemon peels are soaking in it now. I've got to strain out the lemon peels, make a simple syrup, and then it'll go back and rest for another couple weeks.
So this is
like a long term.
Then maybe when we record the next time, it will be ready.
It should be ready by now, and hopefully it won't suck. And I just
girls' night.
Yes,
a girls' night. Try out the limoncello. So hopefully that'll. See, the last time I had limoncello, my husband brought it back when he was doing naval reserve duty in Italy, I think.
That would make sense.
Yeah, that was right. And it was really good. And I got a little, anyway.
I'm trying to trim here. The other two of the things that we're going to talk about, they were back from Christmas and they were good. And but in the, keeping time in mind, I'll cut those out. But I did want to talk about the one thing we went, I mentioned before in other podcasts that we started doing Blue Apron, and we are generally very pleased with it. Every once in a while, there's kind of a stinker. But one of the two meals this week was so incredibly good that I wanted to lick my plate. It was, miso honey chicken. chicken, which my husband found incredibly amusing. But it was chicken thighs with the skin on that you fry and get the really crispy skin. And then the sauce was miso paste and honey and something else. Butter, I think, is all it was. And you put that in with a little bit of water, and it makes this nice sauce, and you spoon it over. And then on the side was roasted bok choy and sweet potatoes. And this was so delicious. I mean, it was amazing. I think this had to have been, we've made some good things from Blue Apron, but this one was definitely my favorite. I'm not going to do a full-on review of Blue Apron, but if anybody is interested in trying it out, I do have, I think, 5 free meals that I can send. So you can just message me on Ravelry if you are interested, and I'd be more than happy to share one with you. Reading and watching. Let's go into that.
Here we
go, Katie?
Reading. Let's see. I finished it probably 2 weeks ago, Winter, which is the 4th book in the Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer.
Oh, I just started Cinder.
I love Cinder.
It's so good.
I didn't like Scarlet that much, but sometimes it's just, you know, your mood or whatever. I love the series.
I think what I'm surprised about it is like, you know, they do this setup, say, oh, look, it's like a fairy tale. And so I'm like, okay, I know which way this is going to go. And then they throw a wrench in and I'm, and so I'm hooked. I'm so hooked.
I loved the whole series. So, Winter is like over 800 pages, but as someone else has said, not a page is wasted. So
no.
it was really good. So I finished that. That was Winter by Marissa Meyer. I just finished the other day Falling Into Bed with the Duke, which is a historical romance.
I'm sorry. I always tease Katie about this.
By Lorraine Heath. I read a lot of young adult books and historical romance. So it's kind of an ugly duckling, decides she's going to be a spinster, but, you know, wants to have that one memory of, you know, of getting it on. And so,
how sexy is it?
I mean, there's sex.
Okay.
It's a romance novel.
It's a romance novel.
Okay. Well, I mean, but no, there are levels. There's like, yeah. There's like, you know, curtains blow, you know, panning over to the curtains blowing in the wind, and then there's, hello.
I mean, if you've read any historical, it's the typical two or three sex scenes.
Okay.
With the same phrasing, you know, that.
Let's avoid the phrasing because we don't want to be marked
explicit. No, no, but, you know, rubs her nub, that type of stuff. You know.
Right. Well, you know, because these are questions that people ask about romance novels. Right. So how sexy is sexy?
But it has enough sex for me.
Okay.
I know there's, you know, other people who don't like a lot of sex in their historical romance.
Right, exactly.
That's
why I read it for. That's why I ask.
Because contemporary doesn't, I don't like contemporary.
Oh, no, I don't like contemporary. Well, no.
Or I, yeah. Some of it, it depends. But I really like that. I give that 4 stars. And I just started Glass Sword, which is the sequel to Red Queen. Mm-hmm. By Victoria Aveyard. I think you said Aveyard. I was kind of falling asleep when I was reading it the other night. I'm only, you know, like 2 chapters in or something like that. So I'm looking forward to that. I really liked Red Queen, even though it's kind of similar. Once you've read a lot of YA fantasy is, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, the special girl who doesn't know she's a princess or has powers and is, you know, gonna save the world.
I'll read it anyway.
Yeah,
but
it's
I really like Red Queen, so I'm gonna read, you know, I was first in line for Glass Sword, so I just started that. And then TV, I haven't gone back to watch Outlander. I'm only 4 episodes into that. My guilty pleasure is Rain. You don't watch Rain?
I haven't watched it, no.
And then Black Sails. Pirates.
Yeah, you like pirates.
I like pirates.
For me, books, I finished several books since the last time. Well, okay. Probably since we even started making these show notes. So I'll be quick. But I finished Shipbreaker, which is by Paolo Bacigalupi. I have no idea how you say that last name. So I'll just go phonetically. It was dystopian, set on... I feel like I've mentioned this. I don't know. I must have been talking to someone else because I haven't podcast. It's set on the United States Gulf Coast after... It's clearly after major global warming-related disasters. And it was kind of unrecognizable. I grew up in Mississippi, and in Houston we're only about 45 minutes from the Gulf Coast. And my husband grew up directly on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, so I'm really familiar with the area. It was unrecognizable as the Gulf Coast for a while, but then they started talking, like, place names, like, talked about the Orleans, which was clearly New Orleans. And then at some point they did mention Houston, and they mentioned something else. It was clearly Louisiana. So we kind of pick up on that, and it's kind of this community where they make their, I guess, their living by basically breaking up the ships that have crashed onto shore. And it's horrible work and back-breaking. And there's a hurricane, which they call a city killer, I think is what they call them. And essentially a yacht crashes, and there is a girl who is alive on it, and so it's about getting her back to her people and getting away from horrible people. And it was actually really, really good, and I will definitely read the second one. It was kind of weird. I was reading it on my Kindle, and there was a big section at the end. They had included a sample from the next one. So it didn't have page numbers, but it had the percentages, you know, like it does on Kindle sometimes, that included the sample. So all of a sudden, I'm like 50-something percent in, and then it's the end of the book. So it was a little kind of jarring. I'm reading this and I'm like, this sure does feel like everything's wrapping up. And then I turn the page and there's the, book?
Duped like that before.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But I did like it. It was really good. I would recommend that. And then I read On the Move by Oliver Sacks, which is a memoir. This was on several of the best of lists for 2015. And it is a memoir written by Oliver Sacks, who wrote several books that people, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat.
Yeah.
And he was a neurologist. He was British. He moved to California and moved to New York, and he loved to ride motorcycles, and he was a weightlifter, and he was a very, very interesting man. And for the most part, I really liked the book. It was kind of bittersweet because he died in August, so reading it, knowing that, you know, those were really some of his last words. And the only thing that I had a problem with was it was sort of chronological, but it was like you would take two steps forward, or like, you know, 10 years forward, and then all of a sudden he'd be talking about the 60s again. And then he would go back and you're talking about the 80s. And then you go back and then he's talking about the 70s. And it was kind of back and forth, a little rambling, but very interesting nonetheless. If you have ever seen the movie with Robin Williams, Awakenings, Robin Williams played Oliver Sacks in that movie. I haven't seen it, but I want to now, although I hear that it's kind of depressing.
A little bit.
But I've never seen it, but it was a really good
book. It's a good movie.
And I read it because it was on the best of, knew nothing about Oliver Sacks, and I was really glad that I had read it when I did. And then I just finished Firestorm by Nevada Barr. This is the third in the Anna Pigeon series. And I got hooked on these because of Tracy and Barb for Two Knit Lit Chicks. I had heard of her because I knew she wrote about national parks, but I had never read one until a few years ago. And I have decided that this is going to be the year of reading some of her books, so I'll fit her into my regimen. But so I read that one. It was set in California. I can't remember where. Darcy would know, but
a forest. Give me a place name.
It started with an L, and it was a forest. Lassen. Lassen.
I probably would national recognize forest it. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was California. It may have been border, you know, somewhere further west, east. But there was a horrible forest fire. People died. They got stranded. It was typical survivor mystery Anna Pigeon novel, if you've read any of hers. And it was really good. My only problem with it was Nevada Barr apparently does not know how to use a comma, or at least she didn't when she was reading or writing her fourth book. Because I had to read sentences over and over trying to figure out where I was supposed to put the pauses. Like, they would run together, and I'd read it and read it and read it, and finally go, oh, okay, that's what she meant. And then there was something else. She didn't know how to use commas, and she didn't know how to use something else, but I don't remember. I had written it in my Goodreads review, but it was, so that was a little frustrating for me because I am kind of a grammar Nazi. And it that really, really distracted from me. So it actually took it from a 4-star book to a 3-star book for me. I will read more of those. I'll probably get a couple more, at least maybe 3 or 4, and by the end of the year. And then I'm currently reading The Good Fairies of New York by Martin Miller, which, funny story, I bought this for my husband a couple of years ago based on some reviews. I don't know, several years ago. I think I heard it on NPR, or maybe it was Nancy Pearl, or somebody had recommended it. And I, in my head, I don't know if it was something in the review, but I thought that it had to do with gay culture in New York. There was a play on, you know, on gay culture, and it was the Good Fairies of New York.
Right.
No, it's about fairies. So I'm reading it yesterday. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is really about fairies. I don't know where I got that in my head. But it wasn't just me, because I mentioned it to Jimmy last night, and he said, oh, I did too. So I
would probably
know.
Read both of them.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, it really didn't matter. It was just like, well, that was an interesting misconception. I am about 60 pages, and I'm not 100% sure about it yet. It's, the writing style is kind of funky. It seems a little, I don't know, too simple for me. And I also get really bothered when they don't use contractions. So it was like, I am this. Or you are this instead of your or I'm. That's just one of those little nitpicky things that kind of bothers me when I'm reading it, because it doesn't feel like that's the way people actually speak. So I'm not 100% sure if I'll finish it. We'll see. As far as what I've been watching over MLK weekend, we binge watched Mr. Robot, which was very interesting for me because I had also just completed the cybersecurity training at work. And I kept seeing things. I'm like, oh, that's that. That's that. They were like any type of cybersecurity or cyber warfare type thing that you could think of that would be brought up in a cybersecurity training, they threw into this show. But it was really good. It was really dark. There were parts of it that were pretty messed up. But if you are into dystopian and technology, I would highly recommend that one. We watched it. I think we ended up buying the series on iTunes, so I don't think it was free streaming. We have also been, or we were binge watching Jessica Jones. We still haven't finished. That's another one that's very heavy.
It's so dark.
It's so dark. And after the last one we watched, we're like, we need a break. So we've taken a break, and we'll probably get back in then. I think we only have maybe 3 or 4 more episodes, so looking forward to finishing that.
You need
that
a good
one.
Shower and a walk in the sunshine after a while.
Yeah, it was really good. But it's
good.
It's
no, it's
so
really
dark.
Good,
and then, of course, we started watching The X-Files. We were watching the reboot of The X-Files. We haven't watched last week's episode yet, or this past week's. But the first one I thought was okay. But the second and third one I really liked. The third one was really, really funny. I was laughing out loud multiple times during that one. It was very campy and very, very old school X-Files. I also watched Grease Live, which I was a little, I won't say I was embarrassed to watch, but I was kind of wary, and it was super campy. It was so good. If you like Grease, you will like this version. I was super impressed with, what's her name?
Vanessa Hudgens,
because her dad died the night before this aired, and she performed anyway, and she did a fantastic job as Rizzo, and it was really good. I really liked it. I want to go back and watch it again. I missed probably the first 30 minutes or so of it, and so I want to watch it again. And then we've also been watching Shannara, which are based on the Terry Brooks books, which I have never read, but Jimmy has. And they're okay. Jimmy likes them more than I do, I think. But it's elven fantasy. Oh, well, obviously it's fantasy if it's elven, but elves aren't real. But yeah, so that is what I have been watching. And Darcy, you want to talk?
Okay. As far as I mentioned I'm reading Cinder, which I'm loving. It just, like I said, it threw a I thought I knew the direction it was going, and then it totally turned it around, so I'm hooked. With my daughter, we just finished the book, The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Boat of Her Own Making by Catherine Valente. And oh my gosh, this book, it's kind of Oz-like, of like a girl who gets stolen into fairyland, but there's, I know that there are probably complaints about how she describes things, but her descriptions are so lush and so rich. There was one point where I reading and it's this autumnal feast and all the things made of pumpkin and squash and spices and warm things. And after my daughter had gone to bed, I walked in and my husband's busy looking at the burpee catalog at squashes because he's like, I want squash soup right now. And it's just, it's layered so that you can read it one way as a kid and then as an adult, it's just means something totally different. The characters are amazing. There's a wyvern who thinks his father is a library, so he's a wyverary, and his name is A through L, and he only knows about things.
Awesome.
And he only knows about things A through L, but sometimes he has to turn things around and like, well, that's that, but that really is in this category that is in something that I know.
It reminds me of like Phantom Tollbooth.
It's like all the children's books that you love, there's like an element to it. I think probably, there are so many good characters in there. I think though my favorite was the soap golem at this one place. It's this, you walk into this, it's like a house of needs and she's a golem, like a statue of a lady and she's made entirely of pressed soap. And before you can go to the capital city, she has to wash you. And the way she describes it's like stuff like you have to wash your courage because your courage gets dirty after a while and mucked up. And then you have to wash your wishes because your life changes. So your wishes need to change and they need to be washed along the way. I mean, it's just stuff that by the end.
It's so good.
Oh, so I got to the last chapter and I'm like, I'm choking out reading it aloud to her and my tears come down. My daughter's reaching over to wipe in my face and we're just like, and it's part of a series. So, it's so good.
I'm wondering if I know, Jeanette, who is Bookish Stitcher. I don't know if you've watched her podcast yet. But she has, her son is maybe just a slight bit older than Kate. I think he's maybe a year older.
My daughter's
older.
Eight.
Yeah,
so.
I think maybe he turned nine. But he is a big reader, and I'm wondering, Jeanette, if he has read these, because it sounds like something, based on things you've said about what he likes to read, this sounds like it's right up his alley.
It's a beautiful, beautiful book. Now, the other book, the book that we're reading together right now is The 21 Balloons by William Penn Dubois, which is, it's a classic. I had not read it before.
I remember seeing it in the library when I was in elementary school.
And it's, okay, so my daughter, like I said, my daughter likes Minecraft, and there's a vlogger who does this great series called Bookcraft, and basically what she does is she takes, like, children's classics, and then she has creators that create biomes that are based on the settings for these books. And so as a result, and so she watches it, and then she wants to read it, which is a great thing. So as a result, we've read like the 101 Dalmatians, which was great big fun. We read Island of the Blue Dolphins, which, oh my gosh, going back and reading that again, it was just, it's like, I remember why I loved this book so much. So we're reading the 21 Balloons, and I think after Fairyland, we're just kind of like, meh, it's, honestly, it feels like old satire about diamond mines, and it just feels... And about economy, and we're reading it, and you know, there's like, go back to the description of the balloon. That's kind of fun, but it's, I don't know, after the Valente book, we're just kind of like, we're reading it because we want to read it, and yeah, no. we are planning, hopefully, to visit some family on the East Coast, and I think we're going to try and read, Misty of Shinkotig, because we're going to go to the Assateague beaches. She was too little.
I remember watching that on film in library in elementary school.
I think I read that book like a million times over when I was in my horse phase. So, and I noticed that there's a shawl called Shinkotig that, so as we get closer to the summer, I know we'll read the book and I'll probably knit the shawl. As far as watching, I'm all over the place. I'm working my way through iZombie, which is, it's kind of gross, but kind of fun at the same time. And then I pop in and out. My husband's working through Foyle's War. And I will,
a few of those.
I'll come in and I'll like sit through an episode and like, oh, who is that? Oh, look, there's Emily Blunt, you know, but it's, and as you watch it, it's like, oh, look, there's a lord. they're guilty. Okay. And you still watch it because it's really good. The writing's really good and the costumes are really good. It's a good show. But I'm not as devoted to it as he is.
So, 94 minutes.
Wow. That's a lot of content.
It is a long one. I'm going to leave off life stuff because I think we've kind of just thrown that in.
I think we did.
Anywhere. Thank you if you have made it through the hour and a half. So this is, this has to balance out the super short episode from last time that was 3.5 minutes. So, we had to make up the time. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We probably will be on about a 3-week schedule. It almost certainly won't always be all three of us just because of work schedules and family stuff, but, we look forward to talking to y'all again. Make sure you join the Ravelry group. It's Kitchen Stitches, obviously, on Ravelry. We would love to have you join there. We have some ideas about a cowl, but we haven't hashed out details yet, so we'll talk about that, and maybe next episode we can talk. Maybe we will launch that.
Maybe next episode we'll drink limoncello, too.
Yes.
Won't that be fun?
That will be a fun episode. Yeah, so I guess that's it. Thanks for sticking with us, and thanks for sticking with me while I had this hiatus and picking back up with the three of us. And we will talk to you in a few weeks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.